short and to the point as I can be. I do want to say real quick, because it is a nostalgia moment a little bit for me. I went to this camp myself. I've given many of my encounters with the Lord came during the youth camp myself many years ago, or not that many though. All right, let's just. I was thinking about, because you know the encounter, you really don't realize how much probably the Lord is doing in your life this week, and you probably won't realize till probably many, many years down the road just how much of an impact this place had. I thought about that. It was my dad and Jim Murray and my grandfather and a pastor from North Carolina who were driving in a van and decided to get their youth groups together and start this camp. And probably in that van, while they're driving back and thinking about brainstorming this and starting this, they would have never dreamed that how the impact it would have had. I guarantee my father wouldn't have known the impact it would have had on my life. Not only that, but that the Lord had to orchestrate so many things in order for, I met my wife in this youth camp. And you know how much the Lord had to orchestrate, and that you do not, like some we've said so many times, you are not in this place by accident. And while you may not find your spouse, and you may, who knows, I don't know the fullness of what God's plan is for your life, you don't know the full impact of everything that God is orchestrating here. You know, they were talking on, when Dan Kiesler preached the other night, he talked about many of you had dreams, whether it was the NFL or being the president, the next president of the United States or whatever it was. You don't know that maybe the relationships that you're building here may be your managers or your ticket to getting to that place, that these relationships you're building in this place are long-lasting relationships. And they were built on an experience that no one else can ever have for you. The impact, as Danny talked about, the power of the Holy Spirit and the different things the Holy Spirit does, how it leads and guides us into all truth, it leads and guides us into our destiny. You don't realize the full impact of everything that's taken place in this youth camp this week, and you may not realize it until many, many years down the road. We have our crying moments, we had our experience with God, but you just don't know the fullness of all the things and all the plans of God that was set in motion this week to fulfill the destiny and purpose for your life. Amen. I want to read a scripture real quick, because like I said, I want to be as short and as to the point as I can, because I want to give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do what it needs to do. I do not want you to leave this place without an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The most powerful thing you can ever do in this setting is to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have not received it yet, do not leave here. Do not leave here without that experience. Now, like I said, your experience, we've said this in Bible study this week, your experience may not be like somebody else's. Because we talk about it all the time. It is a personal relationship with Jesus. And so even the encounters that God does to encounter us and to change our lives are individual encounters, and they're for us. So that you know that just how much God wants to be, wants to have a relationship with you personally. That's why every encounter is unique to each and every one of us, and it should be. So don't, you know, and here's the thing. When you encounter the Lord and you have that unique encounter, and you have that personal encounter, no matter the arguments that ever come that somebody might bring up against you, because you're going to go back to school, you're going to go back to your lives, and somebody's going to want to argue of whether or not God is real or whether or not what you felt was real and what happened here was real. But if you've had that genuine encounter, no one can ever argue you out of it. It doesn't matter how good their argument is, no matter how good their words are, nobody can ever argue you out of a real, genuine encounter. When you know I've met Jesus, nobody else can ever talk you out of that. Let me read a scripture here real quick, just so we say we read the Bible. John chapter 13. You know what's funny is you laugh, but I go to places and like I preach and I'll quote scriptures off the head because that's just the way I am. And so it'll never fail. If I didn't open the Bible and read the scripture, somebody like, well, he never even opened the Bible. So I always try to make sure I at least read something, even if it has nothing to do with what I'm preaching. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he came from God and goeth to God, rising from supper, layeth aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he cometh to Simon Peter, and he saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered, said unto him, What I doest thou knowest not now, but thou shalt understand hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my head and my hands. Jesus said unto him, He that is bathed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all, for he knew him that should betray him. Therefore he said unto him, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garment, he sat down again, and he said unto them, I want to stop there. Hold that, the person that's doing the thing, hold that, because I want to come back to this, but I want to stop here for a moment. Don't worry, I'm not going to wash your feet tonight. That's just not my thing. Plus, many of you, people have been telling me, some of you didn't take a shower all week. You've been out there in the volleyball courts, and I know what those volleyball courts are like when you guys are not here. So I am not washing your feet, but I want to just say something here. And I want to try to say this quickly as possible and give opportunity for God just to do what he needs to do amongst you. But Jesus, on the night before he's about to be crucified, he's sitting with his disciples, and it said that he took a towel. It said he took off his garments. And I thought that's a very vulnerable place for Jesus to be, because he completely took off his garments and he girded himself with a towel. He put a towel around himself, and he sat down and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. And, you know, probably if you're like me, you weren't around at Bible times, if you're anything like me. Because it's a different culture. You know, we read the Bible, and we associate it with today's time, but we really don't think about the time that they were in, the culture they were living in, and the things that were surrounding them. But in these times where the disciples are living, they didn't have nice sneakers. They didn't have nice automobiles. They had sandals if they were probably lucky, and many of them probably went barefoot. And they walked everywhere they went. And if they didn't walk, they may have had a camel or they might have had a donkey, which means there was a lot of mess laying around and a lot of dirt. I mean, they didn't even have the paved roads, so they're not walking on nice sidewalks. They're not walking on nice roadways. Everything is dirty. Everything is filthy. If it's rained, there's mud everywhere. There's dirt everywhere. They're walking in stuff that's got their feet filthy. And Jesus sits down, and here is the King, you know, here's the Son of God. He is the Messiah. You think about, here's the Son of God, and he strips himself, and he wraps himself in nothing but a towel, and he postures himself at their feet. They're filthy, stinking, muddy, dirty, maybe some crap on them feet. And he postures. It's no wonder Peter would say, Lord, I don't want you washing my feet. I don't want you having any part of that. You can't do that, because Peter was the one that, when they were asking, Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? And they're giving all kinds of answers of what men say that they are. When Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Peter was the one that stood up and said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Peter recognized that before anyone else. And so here is his recognition of the Son of God, the living embodiment of the deity of God right before him. And he recognizes him as that. And he sees him kneeling at his stinking, dirty feet and is about to wash them. It's no wonder he would say, Jesus, I don't want you having any part of washing my feet. Because I don't, for one, he probably doesn't want him seeing all the dirt and all the stuff he's walked through. And all the things that he's gone through. See, many of you probably, you know, we sometimes the failure of adults is we forget just how much stuff you guys have to walk through. Especially in the culture today that we're living in, where everything is accessible, everything is bombarded, everything is trying to give us an identity, everything is trying to tell us how we should be, how we should look, how we should act, what should be acceptable, what should be received into our hearts, how we're supposed to be. Here is what is okay, here's what, you know, and everything is forced down our throat, and we have to try to assimilate it into some form. And we sometimes don't even know who we are, our own selves. Instead, we're living somebody else's identity or somebody else's, what they've told us, and we're walking through, you guys are walking through a lot of crap. I mean, I can't imagine, when I was in school, there was no, we kept guns in our car because we were going hunting afterwards. But I can't imagine the fear that you sometimes must have to walk through when you walk in through those school doors, not knowing for sure if somebody's going to come and be upset with somebody and you're just going to get caught in the crossfire. That's some crap you have to walk through. And I don't mean to keep using that word, but there's no other Christian word that kind of quite describes the severity of what it is that you're having to walk through. And you've come to this camp, you've come to this place, and you start hearing something that's contrary to the things that you've been bombarded with throughout the school year, throughout where you walk. You start hearing things about how you're as perfect as Christ. You are righteous. You are holy. We talked about this in Bible study. See, we hear the word holy, and we think that means you glow in the dark. But the word holy simply means that you're set apart. It means you were set apart for something. And as we were been talking this week about destiny and purpose, if you've been set apart from something and you've got a destiny in your life, then probably you've been set apart for that destiny and purpose. So that makes you holy. Now, none of you are glowing in here. None of you got any kind of special rainbow above your head. But every one of you has a destiny and purpose, and you've been set apart for that destiny and purpose. That means each and every one of you is holy. Now, that's probably contrary to things that you've heard in school. That's probably contrary to things you've heard in other places. But see, that's a true identity that the world isn't trying to give you. That's an identity that came from the one that created you. And you've come to this place this week, and you may have come with some dirt on your feet. You may have come walking through some stuff that nobody else understands, and you think it stinks, you think it's gross, you think, I don't want anybody to know the things I've had to walk through. But this week, Jesus has gotten down on his knees. He's wrapped himself in the towel, and he's began to wash your feet. But see, here's the beauty. After Jesus has done washing your feet, there's no dirt left on your feet. The only place the dirt is left is on this towel. The Holy Spirit has come in here this week and has begun to wash each and every one of you. The walk you've gone through, the stuff you've had to step in, the things that you've had to encounter and deal with. And he's washed you this week through the word and through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the encounters you've had, through the tears that you've cried. And he's washed the feet. He's washed that dirt off your walk so that you don't have that dirt anymore. Matter of fact, everything that you've gone through in the past up until this point is left on this towel. See, the beauty of Jesus is when he's done washing their feet. And see, here's the thing. Many of us probably are just like Peter. We're afraid to let the Lord really see the dirt that's on our feet. We're afraid to really let God into that intimate place of our life, to really let him wash it away and deal with it. But here's the thing. If he don't wash it away, if he don't wipe it with this towel, you're going to keep walking in that stink. You're going to keep walking in that dirt. God doesn't want to leave you in that place. He wants you to let him into that intimate place so you can leave it on this towel. So you can leave it on this encounter. You can leave it here in this place this week so that you don't have to walk that way anymore. But see, when Jesus is done and he's wiped it and he's cleaned it with this towel and all your dirt is on this towel, he takes it off, he throws it over in a corner because he's not going to deal with your dirt anymore. It's completely done away with. And he regirds himself, he re-puts his robes on, he sets down. And verse 12 says, so when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and sat down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than the Lord, neither one that is sent greater than he that sent him. I want to stop there because I simply want you to understand that while he's washing your feet and all your dirt's left on that towel and he's put it away and he put his garments back on, he asked them, do you understand what I just did for you? Now, my first thought when I read that is he wiped all the dirt off there, so I don't have any more dirt on my feet. But I realized there's something greater than just him getting rid of our dirt that he was doing for them. Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And what he was doing in that act of washing their feet was that the whole heart of God from the book of Exodus till the time Jesus comes is that God wanted to have a nation of kings and priests, of people that could carry bread and wine in their hands and distribute it to the nations. That was the heart of God. Except Israel rejected it. They told Moses when they came to the mountain and God said, bring up the people, bring up this nation because my heart's desire is I want to make them a nation of kings and priests. I want to set some destiny and purpose in their life. They looked at the mountain and said, that God's too scary. We can't go up there. You go up there for us, and whatever he says, we'll do it. But see, that wasn't the heart and passion of God. The heart and passion of God was that he wanted all men to become kings and priests that could steward the destiny of God, the purpose of God, that they could bring heaven to earth and let it manifest in the earth, and that the kingdom could expand and people could see the kingdom of God and the glory of heaven manifested on earth. But they wouldn't do it. But Jesus is here in this passage, and he's washing their feet, and he's doing more than just getting the dirt off their feet. But what he's doing is preparing them to be priests. He's preparing them for the work of ministry, because here's the reason why he has to do that. He has to wash all the dirt off their feet because the place they're about to walk into is a place you can't carry dirt into. It's the most holy place. He was about to cause them to be ministers and priests that could walk into the temple of God, not one made by hands, but the true tabernacle of God. They could walk into that place completely clean, and so he had to wash their feet and anoint their feet. That's why he didn't give them a bath and wash their head and wash their hands, because if he washed their feet, that's what was going to be good enough to make the walk of blood. That was going to be able to step into the steps of a righteous man that was ordered of the Lord to walk into their destiny, to walk into the things, because where God was bringing them into was not a place that was full of dirt and full of crap. It was a place that was full of holiness and full of destiny. The reason you've been brought into this place this week is so that, for one, all the dirt and all the junk and all the things you've had to walk through can be washed from your walk. But the other purpose of it is so that you don't ever have to walk in it again. See, I really want this week, and this is the last night, this is the night that you have here to receive this. Do not leave this place without receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't leave this place without allowing God to get into your intimate spot and wash your feet tonight. To wash everything away that's been dirty, everything that you've had to walk in, that you've been ashamed of, that you've been that you didn't want to walk in it, but you didn't see no other path through it, so you just went through it. I want you to have that intimate moment with the Lord tonight where God can completely wash that away so that you never have to deal with it again, but to also bring you to a place of destiny so that you can walk into a place you've never walked before. So you can walk into the steps, into the plan, into the destiny of God that he has for you, that you'll never have to walk in all that crap again. And you'll never have to smell that stink again, because the place that you're walking is a place of holiness. You've been set apart for something. You've been brought into a destiny. And what that means is that each and every one of you is considered holy tonight. Like I said, the world wants to give you an identity. They want to put a label on you. They want to tell you who you are. But I pray that your ears be stopped to that, and that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and another they will not follow. So that all you hear from this moment, you hear the voice of the Lord. You hear him speaking to you. You hear him call on your name. You hear him speaking the truth over you and who you are, so that you, like we spoke tonight, you'll rise up and something will rise up inside of you that says, "I don't care what you call me. I know that's not the truth, because I've had an encounter where all that junk and all that dirt's been wiped from my feet, and the place that I'm walking in is not the place that you're telling me I'm walking any longer, but I'm walking in the destiny and purpose of God tonight." Can I get some musicians up here tonight? Again, I told you I don't want to speak long, because I want to my words aren't going to change anything. What's going to change things is your encounter with the Lord. What's going to change your situation is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. To have that encounter. If you haven't encountered that tonight, if you've not received the Holy Spirit in your life, I don't want you to leave here without it. It's real simple. It's just as simple as receiving Jesus into your life. It's just simply coming and asking him, "Father, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill my mouth with your words. Let me speak as you would speak." It's that simple. Just begin to ask the Lord. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give you what you would ask for. And matter of fact, we talked about this in Bible study, because Lisa mentions this when she preached, that he'll give you houses you did not build and vineyards you did not plant. Here's the thing about that. When they went in to spy out the land, one of the things they said when they went to spy out the land, they went to spy out the houses and the vineyards that they did not build and the vineyards they did not plant, is that they said, "There are giants in the land, and the sons of Anak are there." If there are giants in the land, and that's the houses you're about to inherit and the vineyards you didn't plant that you're about to get, that means what God wants to give you is giant houses with some giant beds, with some giant TVs, with some giant stuff in it, because God doesn't want you just to have enough. He wants you to have more than enough. That means the food, the vineyards you're about to receive are not just small grapes. They're not just small plants that you're about to heap, but they're giant food. It said whenever they brought back of the fruit of the land, it took two of them to carry one cluster of grapes. That means they were giant grapes. It's more than you can eat in a day. That's the things God wants to give you. That's the destiny. That's the purpose. God is not giving you just enough to get by. God wants to give you more than enough. He wants to give you more than you can ask or think, because that's how good he is. So if you come up here tonight and you want to receive the Holy Spirit, he's not just going to give you enough. He's going to give you more than enough, so that every situation you face, everything you got to go back to, you've got more than enough to get by. It's going to begin to overflow, and it's going to get to bubble over so that it gets on somebody else. If you've not received this tonight, do not leave here without it. If you're not comfortable asking a counselor to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit, ask a friend that's already received it. If you have received the Holy Spirit, find somebody that hasn't and begin to pray for them that they receive it. Don't let your friends leave here without receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because this is the thing, guys. This is the stuff that would change the course of your destiny. This really is a gift. It's the best thing going on the planet. And it will make your life so good. You may live in hellish situation, but God wants to give you heaven on earth. You don't have to wait till you die to receive heaven tonight. You can have heaven right here tonight. Heaven can invade your earth tonight. You can take that heaven home and it'll be like leaven, or it'll be like yeast, like those of you that were cooking bread this week. It'll be like yeast. It'll cause things to rise. It'll begin to cause things to expand, so that if you're, when you go home, if your home situation is hellish, man, that kingdom of God that's inside of you will begin to expand, and it'll bring heaven into your home. It'll bring heaven into those around you. It'll bring heaven into your schools. It'll bring heaven into your jobs. It'll bring heaven into every situation around you, because God doesn't want to just give you enough. He wants to give you more than enough. Do not leave here tonight without receiving this gift. Do not leave here without your encounter. Let Jesus get down and wash your feet tonight. Amen. Stand with me.